This morning, I want to start out with a story, true story, about my brother's dog. Her name was Jade. Loved that dog. She was a hunting dog, but she was also a house dog. Now, Jade had never met a person that she didn't like. You go to the house and she'd wag her tail. She'd be the first to greet you at the door. Loved to be petted, loved to be just loved on. She could be a lap dog, but she's a little big for that. But most of you know me, you know I love to hunt, and I love nothing better than hunting grouse. And Jade was a bird dog, hunting grouse, quail. I just loved to hunt with Jade. But there was a thing about Jade. Jade would play with anybody, associate with anybody, until my brother Denny called her name. And then she was done with you and went to Denny, because Denny was her master. Denny was her trainer. And when we went hunting, the dog just loved that. That dog lived to go hunting. As soon as you got your guns out or your hunting coat, the dog went crazy, jumping around, running around, couldn't wait to get in the car. But once you got to the hunt out to where you were going to hunt, the dog only obeyed Denny. It didn't pay attention to any of the rest of us. We'd go out in the field, and if we were good enough to hit a bird, Jade would run to retrieve it. It didn't matter who shot the bird. Jade took it back to Denny. Frustrated me no end. Jade, that's my bird. Nope. Went running to Denny and gave Denny the bird. At the end of the hunt, you see, with a hunting dog, we didn't give treats to her. She looked forward to it. At the end of every hunt, we had a canvas retrieving dummy that used to train bird dogs. It's about this big, shaped maybe like a bone. And that was her reward for a good hunt. She got to play with that retrieving dummy. And if we were cleaning birds, we'd throw the dummy and the dog would run and bring it back and give it to Denny. Didn't matter if I threw it or anyone else threw it. It went back to Denny. And if he was cleaning the birds, I'd pick it up and throw it again. It went back to Denny. You see, that dog always obeyed her master. And I was not her master. She liked me. But especially when we were hunting, the dog looked to Denny. The dog obeyed Denny. And that's the way it was. Jade knew who her master was and obeyed no other. So this morning I want to ask you, who are you fetching for? Who's your master? Who is the Lord over your life? Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" See, that tells me that we get to choose our own masters. You choose sin that leads to death, or you choose obedience that leads to righteousness. Every one of us has a master. And that master determines your behavior. If your master is money, you spend all your time, you do everything that you do, and it's centered around money. If your master is power, then your life is centered around gaining more power, living that power in your life. So I want to ask you once again, who are you fetching for? Who is your master? Who's in charge of your life? Of all the people and all the things that you can put in your life, there's only one that deserves, that should be in the center, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. We were created in such a way that the throne of our heart should be occupied by one person. That's God Himself. We have the freedom to choose to place other things in the center of our heart. But I think in the end, you'll find that they're all unfulfilling. They're hollow. Because that's not what's supposed to be there. That's where God's supposed to be. And I believe truly in my heart it's only God that can give us fulfillment in our life, the happiness and pleasure that is long-lasting, that endures forever. I think in the end of your life, you're going to find out. No, I know you're going to find out. It's futility to chase after other things because you'll never be satisfied. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6 this morning. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or you can follow me on the screen behind me. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Now, when God told Jeremiah to go down and visit the potter, the nation of Israel was in a time of crisis. It wasn't so much political or financial crisis, but it was rather a spiritual crisis. You see, the nation that belonged to God, the nation that was raised up by God, had turned their back on God once again. God was no longer sitting in the center of their lives. They'd forsaken God to go fetch other things. They turned their heart to other matters. They looked for the things that brought them earthly pleasure and earthly pride. They were fetching the clay for themselves and not for God. So God took a back seat in their lives. But I want to tell you, God will not sit idly by while we turn our backs on him. No more than he would sit idly by when the nation of Israel turned their back on him. God will not settle for second place in your lives. God will not be mocked. And that's because God is a jealous God. You know, whenever we hear the word jealousy, we think of negative things about being jealous of someone or someone's properties. But a holy jealousy, the jealousy of God, is a good thing. It's a divine jealousy that's justly brought out of love. It's manifested in God's love for us, his jealousy for us to have the best things. See, God is the potter and we're the clay. God designed us, he created us, he molded us, and he wants to make us in a certain way. When we wander from that, God has every right to be jealous of us. Jealous for us, I should say. So when the nation of Israel was wandering from God, God didn't stand back and say, oh, that's okay, have a good time. No, he sought to bring them back. He called Jeremiah and sent him to the potter to make a point. It's here that that Jeremiah sees the potter working. He sees the clay. And he learned some valuable lessons. It says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." It was marred in the potter's hand. That means it wasn't perfect. It was disfigured. There was something wrong with it, something that had to be corrected. The clay was resisting the touch of the potter. So the original design, the original thought of the master himself wasn't coming through. That's a beautiful illustration of mankind and of who we're supposed to be, being shaped by the master's hand to his thought and to his design. The Bible tells us that God created everything in the book of Genesis, and then he says, very good. What God made was very good. But you see, then he gave us next a commandment. commandment to follow, and we didn't follow it. When that command was broken, we became rebellious, and it affected everything. Everything around us changed. Paul tells us in Romans that all of creation is groaning from the curse that come upon the world. And that says to me, everything is affected. Everything around us is affected by our disobedience to that first sin. It changed everything. And this world that we live in right now, it does not represent the world that God intended for us. We messed it up. It was God's perfect world, but we couldn't follow that one command. So we live in a marred world. Just look at the headlines this week. We had gang wars. We had mudslides. We had political battles. Wars, famine, strife, you name it. It was in the news this week. The world is not the way God intended it to be. And mankind is the same way. You know, I think for most of us, we accept Christ our Lord and Savior, and still allowing ourselves to be reworked by the Master's hand, we want to hide that lumpy old clay on the inside because we're not perfect. We're still sinners. I don't believe anyone in this room is perfect. We're marred, and we need to be available to the potter to be reshaped. And it's the beautiful thing that happened next. As the potter was shaping a vessel, he saw that it wasn't what he wanted. The vessel was marred. It wasn't take the shape that he had in his mind, his design. But then notice what happened next. The potter didn't take the ruined clay and throw it in the corner or throw it in the trash. No, he just started to work it over again, to shape it again. He continued to work with it until he reshaped it into what he wanted. In other words, he began with that exact same clay and reworked it, rebuilt it, remade it, and gave it the shape that he could say it was good. Again, God said to his people, as the clay in a potter's hands, so are you in my hand. You see, the great thing about our God is when we're found marred, when we're found flawed, he doesn't cast us away. He reshapes us and remolds us into more of what he wants us to be. You know, I look at that and sometimes I'm thinking, I'm sad because I know it's going to be never ending in my life. Because I know I always have to be reshaped, remolded, because I'm always going to sin. That marred part of my life will always come to the surface. And I have to allow the potter's hand to work me, to move that away. You see, he wasn't through with the clay. He was telling Jeremiah to tell the people, yeah, you messed up. You have disobeyed. You're a stained nation. But I can still form you into a vessel that is useful. I'm not done with you yet. And it's not just the nation of Israel. It's the whole Christian nation. We all fail God. We're all marred, and we need to allow ourselves to be reshaped, to trust in him and not lose faith in ourselves. I'm sure many of you feel that you're not useful to God any longer. You're a cracked pot with too many flaws, too many mistakes. But here's the good news. If anyone is in Christ, you're never too cracked. You're never too marred to be turned into something wonderful. God told Jeremiah that if a nation was doomed to destruction repents, guess what? God forgives and God redeems. You're on the wheel, ready to be reworked. Have you ever heard the name of John Newton? Probably most of you have. But there was a man there whose life was going downhill quick. He was a slave trader and he was a drunkard. It got so bad at one time that he fell off his ship and the sailors had to save him. We might look at him and say, what a waste. God can't use a man like that. But God would give John Newton another chance. See, one day, fearing for his life during a storm, John Newton gave his life to Christ. And Christ changed his world. Changed that man. Later, this slave trader turned preacher wrote a song. Does anybody know the name of that song? It's Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Have you heard the sound? You see, God didn't look at John Newton as a waste, as a throwaway person. John Newton was a flawed pot. He needed the potter's hands to turn him around and to change him. In the same way, God's willing to rework your life today. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. You're not too far away from God to be redeemed, to be brought back, to be reshaped into a useful vessel. But here's the thing, you have to yield to him. You can't continue to hold on to that sinful lifestyle, the things that you may enjoy and say, God, not yet. I'm not ready to give this up. You have to yield to him. You have to yield to the potter's hands. You see, he has a purpose. In every touch, he's forming you into what he wants your life to be. Something that can be used by him. A spiritual purpose, if you want. If we're stubborn and want to follow our hearts and our own evil desires, we'll serve ourselves instead of him. We'll willfully disobey his commands instead of listening and following, and we'll remain that cracked pot. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 20, it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I believe that's telling us if we stay away from the sin, the sinful desires of our heart, we'll be that useful pot, that gold, the very best in the house that Christ himself could use. To help in our daily walk with Christ, you know, if I stand up here and give you a message and there's nothing that you can use to apply to your life, I've kind of missed the whole point. So first, I want you to recognize that God is the potter and you are the clay. You're not in charge. You can't shape yourself. It sounds simple, but I believe every Christian at some point puts himself first. We want to live out the day in our own way. Maybe God has set up a divine appointment for you for that day, and you miss it because you're headstrong, and you know what you want to do that day, and you're not going to veer off that path. It seems like to me anymore I'm so controlled by my calendar that I don't have time to make plans for anything else. But I've slowly come to realize that whatever's written on that calendar, whatever is scheduled for that day, takes second place if God calls and God has something else for that day. See, the things that I believe are important aren't important in the eyes of God. He's in charge. He's the potter. I'm just the clay. See, God is sovereign. He doesn't have to get our permission to do something with us or for us. He doesn't have to explain himself to us. You know, I like to think that I'm the authority figure in my house, somewhat. Rob and I have been married almost 42 years now. Almost 42 years. And we have a simple pact. I make all the big decisions, and she makes all the little ones. And you know, in 42 years of marriage, we have yet to have a big decision to have to be made. You know, I like to think that I had authority in my house when my kids were growing up, authority over my children. I tell them to do something or not to do something, and they ask me why. I always use that one parent statement, because I told you so, or because I said so. Well, you see, a lot of times I didn't believe I needed to give my kids an explanation of what I was doing, because I didn't want the argument. And I would say, because I said so. It's kind of that way with God. You know, we may not understand exactly what God wants to do, or why he tells us to do something or not do something. But he is an authority over our life. And God has every right to say, because I said so. He doesn't have to explain himself to us. All he has to do is say, I said so. And we, as Christians, as children of God, should say okay and do what he asks. Second thing is, I know God has a purpose for your life. He wouldn't call you to him and not have a reason, not have a purpose, something for you to do. When the potter sits down to make a vase or a bowl or whatever he's making, he has an idea of already of what he wants it to be. It's much the same way that God has that plan for our life. Before he started molding us on the wheel, he knew what he wanted us to be. Now, I don't believe that every detail of your life, right down to the most minute detail, is laid out by God, because we do have some freedom of choice. But whatever we have to choose, we choose, has to be in relation to what God has planned for our life. And I do believe that God has a reason for each person that's here today, a reason that you're here. It's our job to listen to him and to figure out what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. Ephesians chapter 1, 11, 12 reads, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory." Now, you might or might not know what your part is yet. The king doesn't have to tell his subjects every detail of every one of his plans. Our job is to listen for the call and then to answer it. Most of the time, we don't get to see the whole big picture, just little parts of it. We were on vacation one year, and there was some street painters doing paintings, selling them to the tourists on the street. And they would put their canvas up, and they mostly used spray paint. And I thought, man, they'd be great graffiti artists. But they would start, and they would spray paint on the canvases. And it just looked like random colors sprayed on this canvas. And they would take brushes and blend their colors together. But as he went on with his picture, those colors that were blurred, he'd start to add detail. And all of a sudden, out of that mess on that canvas, come a beautiful picture. All of a sudden, you could see what the artist intended. But he had that picture in his mind before he ever started, what that picture was going to be. Us standing there looked at it, couldn't tell. It was pretty, but I didn't know what it was going to be. Then all of a sudden, it was a seascape with leaping dolphins. And that's the way it is with our lives, I believe. You know, we don't understand everything God has for us. And we don't understand when God changes direction for us. All we see is that blur of colors until he adds the detail. And all of a sudden it becomes clear. It starts to reveal what he wants for our life. Look back on your experiences. God knits those together as he moves you forward. Those painful moments in your life, God was teaching you something that you could use later on to flesh out a picture, to add detail maybe to someone else's life. And you have that aha moment when God, okay, now I understand why this happened to me in my 30s. It's useful to me now when I'm in my 50s or my 60s as I reach out. As a younger generation comes along, God's going to reveal those things to you that he put you through. God's work in us is never done until we go to be with him. You see, God, I finally come to realize, works in our lives as he sees fit. Our plans take second fiddle. I'll probably never know why God allows certain things to happen to us. But I know he can turn them into something wonderful. And I know he will turn them into something that brings praise and glory to him. He'll turn them into something that is useful to make us a useful tool in his life, our lives, to be that useful bowl or vase. So I want to ask you today again, who do you fetch for? Who's your master? Is it God or is it the world? Will you yield to God's touch today, or are you going to resist the potter's hands? We allow him to be in charge of your life, or do you want to be in charge and give God second place? We allow him to mold you as he sees fit, or we allow the world to mold you as what you want to be. The choice is yours. Let's all stand together. I believe we live in a world spiraling out of control. And now more than ever, we need to be clay in the potter's hands so that he can use us. Nothing scares me more than a friend or a family member going to hell because he didn't hear the word of the Lord. No one took the time to tell him about the gospel news about Jesus Christ. I think as human beings, it's hard for us to grasp the reality of the end sometimes. When the time comes and God calls us all home, it's over. There's no time left. There's no time for your friends or your family. And I think we need to accept the responsibility of what God placed us here on this earth for. And that's to be useful in his hands as we reach out, to be that vessel. Don't worry about how marred you are. Only worry about being available to God and allow him to work in your life. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you are the great potter. You are our master. And I pray that it's only for you that we fetch. That it's only you that we look at to get our commands and our direction. And Father, I pray for all of us marred pottery, that we stay in your hands, Father. And that we allow you to continue to reshape us and to mold us. Father, I pray that everyone here will be useful in your hands and they will work for you, Father. They will have that communication to understand what you call them to do. I just lift up this body of believers, this church, and I ask you would use us in a mighty way, Father, to help us reach out. That you will bring everyone in that you need to accomplish your purpose. It will be focused on you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.